it's kind of interesting. But we look at this thing this morning, and the last of that verse stuck out to me late last night, which was too late to write another sermon, where it says, "Wherein dwelleth righteousness?" That's the goal everybody has as any kind of a Christian at all, is the righteous walk. Amen? You know, even if you don't want it because it doesn't make you happy to do right all the time, it's still your goal because you got the Holy Spirit and you want to do that sort of a thing. So there's going to come a day where we're going to live where there is righteousness. And it just isn't going to be until this whole thing gets fried to a crisp and redone, and then it'll just be the way it's supposed to be. So it is coming. That is when the spiritual kingdom becomes a what? A permanent, eternal, physical, spiritual, combined kingdom. That's why people have such a hard time with the fact that we'd be living in outer space. Well, outer space has to change a little bit, too. And isn't that what takes place? There's a massive change here. Wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And after that comes righteousness. Well, wherein dwelleth righteousness. He's going to clean house all the way out there, of wherever out there is, you know. So anybody trying to make this thing right here a perfect standard is never going to be happy. So anyway. And notice that verse starts off with verse 13, it starts off with, this isn't working. Nevertheless. Amen. That's just kind of a neat thing to look at here. So let's do this. If I haven't already bored you to tears tonight here, let's take your Bible and let's turn to a couple neverthelesses and just kind of look at them. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Got to make this a... What kind of flaps and wings here again tonight over this thing? No, let's not do that. Let's go to Psalm 106. Let's just go to Psalm 106. And nevertheless, my favorite one that I'll never forget was when I first ran across this thing in Psalm 106. And Psalm 106 is a powerful chapter because it kind of summarizes God's people just being as rotten as can be. Let's go down here to verse, I guess we could read the whole thing. Most of these verses tonight could be a whole chapter, but I'll try not to do that. Let's go up to, let's go up to 6, I guess. 106, verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, there's one. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea. Go down to verse 12. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. And it just goes on. Just goes on. Look at verse 21. They forget God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. And this is the bunch that had to see things. And they saw things. And they still gave up real quickly. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach. Boy, Moses, isn't that something? Think you've ever changed God's mind? He doesn't work that way. I don't believe that. Boy, that's quite a thing. Look at verse 24. Yes, they despised the pleasant land. How many people despise... Remember Wednesday, all the stuff Jesus has given us already? But the only thing he hasn't done for us is to come get us. And that's that kingdom of heaven that he'll bring down. We'll get that thing straightened out. But murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. It goes all the way through down to 34. They did not destroy the nations. You know, if America would have, any war America's in, if we'd have actually destroyed the nation, we wouldn't have the problems we have today. If America was supposed to be the world kingdom, We sure didn't go about it very well. We destroy them, and then we give them all the money and build them back up again. You know? It's like, it'd be like, what's that Calvin's bully guy? What's his name? Is there a name for that guy? The bully guy at school? Mole? Mole. That's a good name for a bully. You're always beating up on Calvin, and then what you ought to do is you ought to give Calvin the money to... But he doesn't do that. Look at verse 35. But were mingled among the heathen, and learned their works. That's public school back in those days. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Schooling again. And shed innocent blood. Thus, verse 39, thus they were defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. You know, some of our inventions, as good as they are, have just taken us away from the Lord. You know? Anyway, verse 40, therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. Phew. Ever been tired of your kids? Yeah, okay. You know? I don't think I ever have been. Probably a few times, yeah. Not my grandkids, though. You think so? Guess I don't hide it well, do I? And he gave them into the hand of the heathen. Okay? I'm so tired of you. Why don't you want to go out there in that world? Have at it. You want to move down to Denver? You go ahead and you move down to Denver. Many times, verse 43. See, we're skipping so much. This is the whole sermon right here, 43. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. But there's that verse 44. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Isn't that an amazing thing? After all that stuff that they did to him, and as soon as they made a whimper back to him, he was there. And that's how we are as parents. You may not admit it, but LD, you know if one second they said, tell me about the Bible. No, I'm not gonna. You had your chance. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that for a second. And yet there's gonna come a time where God says, listen, there's gonna come a time. I put my hand out to you for all this time, and you rejected that thing. One of these days I'm gonna pull that hand back, and when you cry for me, I'm not gonna be there. Whew. Boy, that's why the tribulation is so rough. Sometimes our teens need to learn some lessons, amen? They're asking to do it their way. You ask for that, now finish up. And when they're really hitting the bottom, there they are. Because most of the time those first cries really aren't serious cries, amen? So, use parental wisdom in that department there. But what I want you to see there is in verse 44 where he says, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. Isn't that a neat thing? That's a marvelous thing right there. Let's go on. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Oh, that must have gone where I started, 2 Corinthians. That's where we started. I'm sorry. We're getting it together here. No, we're not. 2 Corinthians. Let's look at another one. Isn't that a good one, that one we just looked at? Aren't you glad God's been there for you? In spite of all your murmuring and rejecting his counsel, you know? Nevertheless. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's look at verse 1. Got a bunch of verses here to read. This is... got a little bit more pastoral application to it, I suppose, but I want you maybe to understand something here. He's, which one have I got here? 2 Corinthians, yep. He has to send a letter ahead to something to his people. And he writes a pretty hard letter. That's the tech context of this thing. It would just be the same thing as a pastor preaching a pretty hard sermon. Kind of didn't want to hear that one. And, man, he sure, what's his problem anyways? Did he have a bad night or something or what? He really, who is he to pick on me and all that kind of stuff, see? But this is a good chapter here. Chapter 1, chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See where that doctrine thing can be originated right there? If they don't know the rest of what Paul teaches, that would tell me that I better be perfect in my holy walk. So you can't just do one verse. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. He didn't mean to hurt anybody. He just had to say what he had to say. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Wow. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Well, that's quite a church service there. Nevertheless, there it is. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. So God sends somebody to help you through some stuff once in a while. That ever happened to you? Preacher gets up there and just says just the meanest sermon you've ever heard. But the husband or the wife, or maybe just one of your friends, says, "Oh, that's not what he meant. You're taking that thing pretty hard." And he says in verse 7, "And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more." Now, you got to listen to this thing really close, because the story goes here that Paul, this Titus character comes along, and he gets a good report from these people, even though they got hit pretty hard with his little letter here. But he gets a report that they still want to hear that. Now, you guys have all said that. Go ahead and tell us what you want, what needs to be said, and go ahead and do that thing, which encourages Paul, you know, to keep doing what he's doing. And the fact that they want to hear more just encourages him that much more. I had somebody come into my office this morning and say, that sermon today, it just made sense. Just made sense. And you have no idea the encouragement that is to a pastor guy. And somebody else said something this morning about the same thing. I'd seen it before, but I never clicked then. And this is what's happening here. Where are we at? Verse 8. Here we go. "For though I made you sorry with a letter," and you want to put in the word sermon, go ahead. "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent." You know, I didn't mean to make you feel bad, but I need to make you feel bad. I didn't mean to, but I had to. You know, "I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season." We get over it, amen? We get over it. "Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance." I mean, I feel bad that you took it so hard, but it made me happy to see it. You got it. "For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing." He's hoping they weren't damaged by it, and it hurt them, but they responded. Ten. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Now, apply that thing to salvation. How many times before you were saved did you like to hear about the Bible? And people get pretty upset and get really mad at you. Now, I dare you, okay, you got saved. Well, amen, it was worth it. And that's a pretty hard thing to do when it's somebody you care about. But Paul said, listen, these are his people, and he was excited for them, and his heart was for them. Down there in verse 3, and he knew he had to say what he had to say. And it was hard for him. But he says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance," see? Go down to verse 11, keep going. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, there's that indignation, it really hit a hole. Yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, in all things ye have reproved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Boy, that's, from a pastoral standpoint, that is just a marvelous little series right in there. Listen, you have to say what you have to say, and look at that. It made you mad, but now look at you. You're King James Bible nuts. And you've got that desire, you've got that zeal for the book when you wouldn't have had it years ago. I'll bet you some of you, I know one person has already said, boy, there was some time I just hated you. But I see now that it wasn't you. It's the book. And now they're pretty excited. Now they know where to get comfort. Now they know how to deal with this stuff. And that's what that thing right there is all about. That is a marvelous little series right there. And it's getting to be where people can endure what? And that's what they can endure right there. That's what Paul is praying that people can handle. It's hard anymore to just flat tell somebody what needs to be told. I mean, my little thing this morning about entire sanctification and the perfect I can't remember these things. Whatever that thing is called. Sinless perfection. I didn't do a very good service because I didn't want to just kind of beat on somebody with a hammer. I have a feeling it still was pretty hammerful. But I'm hoping that helped explain it. It's hard to do that. You know. How about you as a father or as a mother? You know you got to tell your kids some things. And we can't let their reaction keep us from telling the truth. They don't realize that we mean right. And if you've ever made some mistakes in the process, is there a parent in here that has never made a mistake as a parent? We make mistakes. It's not even always. I hate people looking at them as mistakes. It's called life. So, Paul, make any mistakes? I don't believe so. So he's a good example to follow for our standard. Amen? That's quite in the nevertheless. Nevertheless, God, the comforter of those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. He put somebody in your life to help you get through it. You know? Okay. Let's go to Galatians 2:20. Let's do another nevertheless. Do we need a commercial? A 196 Balm, there's this great gingerbread. Yes, we did. Yeah. But he's fallen asleep or what? Oh, let's look at what I tell you. Galatians. Did I tell you the verse? Okay, good. Did I? Yeah, I thought I did. Maybe not. Let's go to verse 16, Galatians chapter 2. Let's read through this thing a little bit here. This is another sermon. This is three sermons already now. Short little blurbs. You all right? Nothing on TV anyway. Can't do anything for Goldie anyway. And Oregon. What can you do in Oregon? go to bed, right? I know. Okay, where are we at? Galatians 2, what did I say? 16, okay. Knowing that a man, there's a bunch of stuff beforehand here, but anyway. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Do you know that? Okay, that's good. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing that the sinless perfection crowd and the entire sanctification crowd, they don't know that. We're not justified by the works of the law. Hello! But anyway. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And years ago, I looked at that and said, there's something there. And look where it went over these years. The faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now there's some modern Christians that could read that verse and get nothing out of that thing. Like, the woodchuck thing. Well, that makes total sense to me. Does that make total sense to you? Slow down in your Bible reading. Don't get in 10 pages. Get in some understanding. And then get those 10 pages will come. Maybe. Knowing that a man, do it again, 16, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Do you get that? Ask Mama on the way home. Mama, explain that verse. Get a little faster. Okay. Let's get home. Explain the thing, you know. 17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? See, if you take the stuff I've been yakking lately about that we're not really sinners because we're not connected to the flesh, that's very true. But if we carry that to the extent of where we're sinlessly perfected, we got a false doctrine. We're just that close into going on the wrong side. Because there's still the sin that dwelleth within. So there's still sin going on. Okay, so there's sin that's going on. And he says here, okay, is therefore Christ a minister of sin? Well, you know, of course not. God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, and there's the word. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Thus we should be able to walk a perfect, holy, perfect walk. That's what they say. So if you mess up because you've got Christ in you and are supposed to be living that walk, then you must not have Christ in you. That's the whole concept of that holiness wagon, barn full of wagons. Whether it be the holiness crowd, whether it be the Calvinist crowd, whether it be the integrated church crowd, whether it be the child training, up a child type training, all that kind of stuff, they believe that if you've got Christ in you, you ought to walk perfect. And you probably can for a couple seconds. Maybe a couple minutes, maybe just, you know, 10, 15 minutes. You get a thought of some kind. Something will happen. But you got a few moments. But that's where they come up with that thing. But anyway, you know, whatever. I am crucified with Christ. We need to be crucified with Christ. But that big nevertheless is nevertheless I what? I live. So we need to live the, what did I say before? The risen life. The joyful risen life. Everybody just, I remember when I did that one sermon. I just stood here like this and said, yes, I'm saved. Oh, woe is me, I can't do anything. You know. Okay, so we're crucified every morning, crucify the flesh, etc., etc. But get off that thing and go out there and serve God. We're supposed to live unto God. And it says there, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So, if the fact that us getting off the cross and living that perfect life was going to make everything right, who needed Jesus Christ? Well, we know we need him because that's what it says right there. Nevertheless, I live. What a neat word. Crucified, nevertheless, I live. That's the joy of being a Christian. And we can't get off the cross, amen? That's why I believe that this thing with the Passion of the Christ is going to be such a hit. Catholics love to be on the cross. They loved it. I could show you this stuff. I got the wrong CD. I could show you some pictures. I could show you this priest's heart. This is pretty neat. I just show you some neat pictures of this priest's heart in Montreal, Canada. And I show you all these steps of these people walking up the steps on their knees. That they want to suffer. Because they just, it's just a human nature to think that God is God, and I can't just have him give me just because I believe. Must be something I can do. I'll call up those steps on my knees. Isn't that something? So this movie, everybody's going to go and experience this whole thing, because we can experience stuff with the special effects, you know, we're going to know what it's like to be on the cross. Wow, it's going to be pretty exciting. Everybody's going to go just for that. And there's going to be people have their lives changed. We do need to realize what Christ did on the cross. The only problem is that movie doesn't even portray the thing right in the first place. So if we go and see that thing, we're going to come out of there with some seeds planted of some unbiblical things. Aren't you kind of interested? I'm kind of interested. Like to see how they do this thing. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know. You've gone to worse movies for less reason. Maybe the whole thing should just be chucked. I don't know. That's between you and God, I guess, huh? Let's, where are we at here? Let's do this in Philippians. How are we doing time-wise? Are you all right? We need a commercial? Want a drink? I can pass the cup. We'll be doing a Lord's Supper here pretty soon, too, by the way, folks. It's been a long time. Philippines. Chapter, look, a totally different one. Sermon number 4. Didn't expect that tonight, did you? 7-course meal. Yeah, we could. I think dessert's pretty special, too. We might have to inhale the vegetables over here. Here we go. Philippians 4, 1. Actually, 1:21. Philippians 1:21. That doesn't look right. Philippians 1. That's it. 1:21. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is Paul now. He's talking about the fact that he would like to not be here. Anybody got that desire sometimes? You know, it should be nice if we just get out of here. I understand that. It's real, too. And Paul has to battle a little bit. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, and now we're not talking about that difference between in the flesh and after the flesh as a saved or not saved. He's just in his body. I mean, there he is. You're not in the flesh because you're separated from your flesh, but where are you today? You're still inside here. We're just not connected. So we're still in the flesh, but really we're not in the flesh anymore. We're inside it. But, you know, I'm not going to rewrite this thing, so. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. This is what he has to do. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. He doesn't want to do this. Here we get up and go to work. You don't want to go to work. But you got to go to work. You get up in the morning and down come the kids. You don't want them to know you're home. that's just where it's at. And he says there in 23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. There's that word. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I mean, here's Paul. I mean, he's been up there. He's seen him face to face. And I can't imagine what he must have thought when the Lord said, okay, now, go back down and tell everybody. What? You're kidding me. I read this in Luke. That doesn't happen. Nobody can go up there and go to hell and come back. Well, this isn't hell. This is heaven. You're going back. And not only that, they're just going to wail the snot out of you for a couple of years. It's going to hurt. You're going to get whippings. Oh. You know. Did I ask for this on the road there in Acts chapter 9? He had to go back to the people that he beat up. That's even worse. You know. He's going to go back and let them beat him up. Oh, Michael Bush. I wonder if he'll let me beat him up now. The kid used to kind of try to scare me and beat me up and all that. Anyway, where are we at? How do I get into that? Oh, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He still, after having been there, he knows this is where he needs to be. Parents, haven't you ever given up? Oh, have you given up on stuff? How about a pastor? You think he ever gives up? Doesn't really give up, but he knows that things are hard and it's just frustrating and blah, 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 blah. Well, don't whine, Pastor. Okay, well, how about a mother? Mother ever want to just, you know? Well, it's best that you be there. Paul wanted out. Remember even one time in Corinthians, he despaired for his life. He just didn't want to be here. And he says, yes, but it's best for who that he's here? it's best for you, it says, talking to these people. A mother needs to hang in there, not for the sake of the mother, but for the sake of the kid. The father needs to hang in there, not for the sake of him, his father image and all that stuff. He needs to hang in there for the sake of the kids. And it's getting harder, and it's getting harder. A pastor needs to stay in there and hang in there for the sake of the people. Whether if he thinks they're getting it or not, you just don't need to quit. Don't need to quit. So Paul's big thing, nevertheless, I'll stay. I'd much rather go to be with the Lord. But I'll stay. For his benefit, for somebody else. You know. You ever get tired of witnessing somebody? Just tired of it. Just tired of it. Don't quit. Because you're not witnessing to him for you. You're witnessing to them for them. So we need not give up. How are we doing? That's a lot of sermons. A little mini jobbers. Never could have written them out. Hope this thing is still working back there. Let's do it. Maybe we should just do one more here. No. Yeah. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Let's do another one. How are we doing? How are we doing in the balcony? What? Oh. Thought you were pointing to the spider up there. We're going to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Now I know what some of you are doing. You're sneaking ahead looking for the nevertheless word. You're skipping the sermon. You're missing the preaching here, you know. That's right. I'm amazed at it, so. Oh, let's go down to verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Ever been ashamed of your pastor? Don't answer that. Don't even smile. LD? Ever been ashamed of your husband? Ever been ashamed of your wife? Ever been ashamed of anybody that you know and care about? Anyway, this is about the Lord here. Nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I think when I was a child, I think there's a lot of times I was ashamed of being a Paulson. And you probably think, well, aren't you still? No, we just didn't have any money, and the cars Dad drove had the piano, Paulson piano tuning sign on it, you know, and Dad was, he walked slow, and he'd have the derby thing for a hat, and he'd spit everywhere he'd walk, and he's a smoker and the whole thing, and I, as a kid, Mr. Perfect, you know, that whole thing when I was a teenager, I'd be kind of ashamed there a little bit. I wonder if they're ever ashamed of me, being ashamed of them, you know. I used to write little notes to my mom in the bed at night. I'm sorry you don't love me. You know, stuff like that. You know. You ever get those yet? Not sure if they can't write yet, can they? Oh, you'll get a couple. Anybody ever gotten any? I mean, some little kids, you wouldn't let them have dinner, you know, and all that stuff. And I'm going to probably die tonight, so I wanted to tell you that I love you. You know, little notes and all that stuff. You know. Wonder if my mom even remembers that stuff. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. I had to partake, had to be a partaker of the affliction of being a Paulson. I mean, the nose just kind of goes to the territory, you know? And other things. I don't think anybody in my family can see. Can anybody in my family see without glasses? We all, my mom doesn't. Now she's having a hard time, but, you know. And a doctor tells me I can have yellow cataracts. Oh, don't even talk about that, you know. Nobody's going to operate on my eyes without knocking me out. That's just a fact, you know. Partakers of the afflictions of being a Moore, being a McCubbins, being a Turner, you know. Oh, a Brunt. You know, I'm Jerry's. Yes, I'm her. Yes, I'm his daughter. You know, I can't. Yeah, that's my dad over there. Yeah. So I try to bring this home for you a little bit better here. Yes, Cindy's my mother. You know, stuff like that. Kids go to school. And you can pick me up. Can you pick me up about two blocks away, please, so they don't see you here and all that? And Mom, everybody says you wear army boots. Can you take them off when you come get me? You know, nowadays it's the style to wear plunkers and all that stuff. It's kind of a weird thing, but anyway. So anyway, the point is he is talking about being a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ just before the world began. It's just like, let's go back to verse 9, go back to the parent thing here. Who hath fed us, amen, and clothed us, and paid for college or some of it, or paid for this, or got you this, or whatever. Didn't do it for you. That's what you're supposed to do as a parent, for his own purposes, you know, and grace, which is given us. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. That's what he has to do. That's what God, that's what you're going to do, Paul. That's just the way it's going to be. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Oh, woe is me. I'm a Paulson, I'm a Burt, I'm a Kench, I'm a Turner, whoa, no, okay, that's just that joke about people's name is Hog, you know, I'm a Hog and all that kind of stuff. There's a family in North Dakota, no, Montana, their names are H-O-A-G. I've always felt bad. I don't think it's pronounced Hog, it's probably Hog, but if you're a kid, what are they going to call you? That's just where life is, you know, I'm a Hog. Oh, well, you know, whatever. Just trying to bring it home to you here. And he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, there it is again, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good? I mean, we all have reason to be ashamed if you look at things in a prideful manner. As kids or parents or teachers or pastors or whatever. I'm not ashamed of y'all. Hope you're not ashamed of me. But if that comes to the territory, I get arrested for saying something I shouldn't have said or whatever, but I was right. Then I know that he's my pastor. I know that these are my church people. I know that that's my kid. And I'm probably ashamed of him, but it's still my kid. I'm going to take care of my kid. Blah, 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 blah. You know. Let's do one more. Let's do the last one. Let's go to Psalm chapter 73. Psalm. That's an Old Testament. We can't claim that one tonight. Yeah, we can. We can apply this thing how? Spiritually. Psalm chapter 70. Is that what I said, 73? Wrong. How about that? I don't hear myself anymore. How can I expect you to listen to me if I don't listen to me? Maybe this will help you understand that rightly that kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven thing. If we go back to the Psalms and we apply that on a physical kingdom basis, we can't. It's already taken place. It's going to take place again in the tribulation and in the millennium. Because it's happened, you know, nothing new under the sun, etc., etc. So we can look at the Psalms and we apply them on a total spiritual basis. We have spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6. We have a helmet. We have a helmet. What's the helmet of? Salvation. We got, I can't remember these things. We got a shield. Guy's going to walk around with a shield, going to work, take a shield to work with you? What is that, Bob? It's my shield. I'm a Christian now. It's a shield of what? Faith. The breastplate is of righteousness. The feet are shed with the gospel of peace. Wow, I'm remembering these things. Amazing. What else is there? What? Sword. Oh, yeah, sword. David went and bought a sword for the wedding. I must be how he's going to take care of her. I want you to know right now that if you're wrong, off goes your head. You know, that kind of a thing. I guess he's learned by watching. Amen. No, it's a physical sword. It's one of those marine things, you know. He's probably going to cut it. He's either going to cut himself or cut me with that sword, you know. He's going to go for the ring, you know, and he's going to hit the handle of the sword. He's going to come up. He's going to tear her dress, right? I can just see David with a sword. It's going to be really dangerous. You know. He won't listen to this. I can say that sort of thing. But it's a spiritual sword. And if you think it's a physical sword, okay, you go downtown, you try to rob a bank with your Bible. Stick them up. I'll beat you with my Bible. I'll stab you with my sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword in the world. I can't cut anything because it's a spiritual thing. When I first saw that circle thing, I just went right to Ephesians 6, and it explained Ephesians 6 totally to me. And now we can get something out. Okay, get to Psalm 73. You're rambling. Okay. Psalm 73, part of being the shame of being a Paulson there. Come back. Of course, no longer a Paulson. We passed that sword over. Psalm 73, look at verse 12. Boy, that's a lot of verses we're going to go through. Yep. Okay. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Boy, we are whining here big time. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Now, the sanctuary of God for us today is when we, what? We get saved. Get in the Bible. That's the sanctuary of God. We get saved. So, here's a guy going into the sanctuary of God on a physical basis, and he goes in there, and he understands the way those guys are going to end up that have been whipping on him and mocking him and laughing at him and stuff that he's been doing he shouldn't be doing. He understands their end. And we as Christians, we understand where a lost person is going to end up. We know how this whole thing's going to end. We saw it today. It's going to end in this new kingdom, new heaven, new earth. Now it's going to end in the millennium. It's going to end for most of them in the tribulation. And we know it's going to end in the lake of fire. Unless they get saved. And the tribulation, unless they walk right, don't take the mark, obey the commandments, and still have their faith. So, I want you, we're going to finish this thing up. I want you to be thinking how we are apply this thing to us today spiritually. Verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction. Amen? Is that not what he's doing, unsaved people? How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. What did the Lord call the Gentiles? Dogs. Didn't he say they weren't even a what? A people. God loves everybody. He looks at them as dogs. Doesn't even call them a person. Boy, you can't get any lower than that. So here we are here. So foolish was I. Were you foolish before you were saved? Oh, big time. I mean, come on, folks. And ignorant. I was as a beast. Now that's pushing it. Anybody here, were you a beast? Oh, yip, yip, bark, bark, slither, slither, you know, feathers flying or, you know, whatever, beat whatever you were, you know, hee-haw, I'll go there, okay, I won't. Here's verse 23. This is a marvelous nevertheless. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. That's in the book of Psalms. We know how to look at... Do you see how you're looking at that on a spiritual realm for us today? You don't get that by coming to church. This is not the sanctuary of God. You don't get this just because you come here. You understand things because you got the Holy Spirit. This is just where we gather. That's all this is. I could have presented this sermon up at Louis' barn. And if we had electricity, we could have run that thing and we'd all been sneezing and stuff with the hay, but we can do it. It isn't the location that gives us that understanding. It's the Lord. And what does he say there in verse 23? He's holding me by my right hand. I don't know if he meant by the right hand or the correct hand. Doesn't matter. When you go out in places, don't you hold your kids' hand? Remember that, Beck? You probably don't. And David, same thing. We go into parking lots, I'm sorry, you're holding onto my hand. And you feel the tug. But after a couple months, whatever, the tug kind of goes away. They walk into the parking lot, what do? They put their hand up because they know they got to. You know, kids are a little rough when they're 17, 18. But, you know, you still got to take care of them, you know. And you know the story when David ran out in front of a car, how I jumped out and brought him, hit him, and brought him back. And he for years after, well, I always wondered why I ever hit him. Remember that? You just take care, you take him by the hand. And you guide him and you lead him. I don't know how you folks do it with 3 and 4 kids. You got a couple different fingers down there, and a couple over here, you know. But you got to, or they're going to run out and do something really stupid. Is that not what the Lord's doing for us? Thou shalt guide me, verse 24, with thy counsel. That's your Bible. And afterward receive me to glory. Isn't that neat? Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Not even your pastor? Not even your pastor. How about your husband, your wife? No. I'll take God over them any day. That's the way it's supposed to be. That sounds pretty unloving, doesn't it? But that's really how it's supposed to be. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. And there's where we'll leave it, right there. That's marvelous how that worked out. I didn't plan that at all. We're going to pick it up where we have to talk about, right there, last part, that I may declare all thy works. And we'll pick that up Sunday morning, because it just sets up for what we're going to do Sunday morning. Amazing. That's amazing. Boy, nevertheless, isn't that neat? That was 6 sermons and 7 sermons. And now you get to stretch and you get to go home and you get to eat and fellowship if you want, play trains, play ping pong. But just remember what the Lord's done. And remember what you've done. And he throws that word in there. What word does he throw in there? Nevertheless, I'm keeping your salvation. That's a marvelous thing. Good thing for parents, and there's some good application for mom and dad in that thing too. I hope God spoke to you during some of that stuff. Amen. Well, come up, have an invitation. We'll all cry. Get everything right, and come back next week. You'll have joy, joy, joy. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Well, you follow so well when we're done. I've got the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay or today. You made me so happy. What? Be happy. Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. Happy, I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Then we go another one. If I got the wonderful in my heart.
Where?
Down in the depths of my heart.
Where?
Down in the depths of my heart. I've got the wonderful in the depths of my heart. It's all I got through school. Today. I guess I'm thinking of another song where we go through a whole series of them. But anyway, whatever. Now you got to have joy this week. The exceeding joy is going to come when? When he comes. That's the exceeding joy. I'll be happy with joy. And I hope you are too this morning. Evening, whatever. Let's stand. Take your Kingdom of God, Kingdom of Heaven tracks home with you. Stick them with all the others if you can remember where you hit them. And if you haven't got one of the original tracks with all the details and verses, I'll give you one if we have any. I think we have a couple back there. And take those articles about your children, the curriculums and your education, stuff like that. By the way, does anybody here have the videos to St. Helens that I got from the trip? and maybe Marilyn's other two or whatever. Anybody got the videos? I wonder where I loaned those videos out to. Maybe I got them, I just can't find them. It wouldn't surprise me, amen? David taught me that, you know, how to lose stuff. Knowing him, he'll lost the ring by next whatever day that is, Saturday. Well, be glad to see everybody tonight, amen? Good to see Bob here, Cindy, and Louie and the gang, Tyler, boys. I got to go see everybody. Mim back there. Mim and everybody. Chuck, good to see you from work. Go back to work this week, amen? Louis, back to the tractor, you know. Sue, back to the loneliness of being a tractor-driving wife. Pie-making. If I bought you a can of cherry filling, do you make cherry pies or just kind of a got apple pie thing?
I make apple pies and cherry pies and huckleberry pies, and then I make the salt cream pies too.
Oh, you know, like the banana cream thing?
Yeah, or coconut cream or chocolate cream or, you know.
Chocolate cream? You got some already made up in the freezer over there? Chocolate cream?
Ben? Not the cream pies. Oh.
They don't last, huh? Well, I suppose we could go over for cherry. Can we come over tonight for cherry pie?
It's froze. And you ain't froze.
We'll stay long enough for it to stay melted. Some of you say, oh, he will too. He will. You know, that's never stopped him before from leaving. I wear the right clothes, I can stay longer. Anyway. Is that just a salute, or is this what you want? That's pretty neat. You look back there. Car shower? Is that cards or car? Oh.
Each one bring a card.
Okay, because if you get a car shower, I can have his truck. Okay. You can get tall cards, short cards, you know, whatever you want to get. You know. Sure. But well, we have a bunch of his stuff. That's from his room. Got to take back his guns on this trip. That's going to be interesting. Should be a problem to just back him and put him in there. But I just wanted to enjoy the flight. Those security guys just irritate me. And now I'm going to have that flag. They got a gun in the plane. I'll keep this guy away from the baggage door. If you take the gun apart, doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Half of it in her suitcase, half of it in mine?
Yeah, as long as it's apart.
Yeah. You getting tired of this place like I am? Security stuff and all that? You know, now they're going to start finding you. I read that. They're going to start finding you for the stuff you accidentally have with you. You know, $25,000 fine for having a fingernail pointer stinger dinger in your briefcase, you know, whatever you call those things. Tweezers, you know. And, yeah. If they're going to get you for threat, they ought to arrest me for what I'm thinking when I go through that security stuff. And they probably have one of those machines pretty soon, you know. And you know, the only place that's ever really irritated me was where?
Pasco.
Like Osama bin Laden, whatever his name is. Osama bin Laden is in Pasco somewhere. You know. And there's this one guy. Oh, don't get into that. Okay. Okay. I just hate to see y'all leave. You know, Paul likes to see the folks. I like to see the folks. You know, pray for Goldie and LD. Still got that pain, Louis? Or Louis? Still got that pain? Not in your neck. I mean, the one. Yeah. Pray for Bob. Just pray for Tyler. He's still 16 now, right? He had the birthday last week. Still 16. Got that word at the end of his age yet. That's rough. Sam, have you hit 13 yet? No, okay. Soon, huh?
It's
not looking like a possum pretty soon. Wonder how many people thought I was just a habitual liar just because of my nose, you know? Oh, you're lying again? All this big, long, red nose. Yeah, well, just call me Pinocchio for short, you know. Anyway, pray for Mike. He's up there in Spokane somewhere, driving back tonight. And pray for a job someday. No hurry, but He's doing little projects around the church and finishing things that I should have finished, or we should have, just doing little things here and there. He is going to try to put the phone through a hole in the wall that he's going to make tomorrow, so we don't have to run it from the bedroom across. He's just going to run it right through here and up. He seems to look more confident with it than a... He's got that fancy drill, the Richter or whatever. Richter? Rigid. Oh, mine's the Richter drill. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, and we get the train fixed up. We got Bill bought some more train parts, so maybe Tyler, we ought to do the other room sometime. You got to get a whole day. We ought to come down here and if your parents don't want to even let you come down or something, we'll do a whole other room and kind of make that into kind of a neat thing, possibly. Amen. Well, I guess we should dismiss the prayer. Louis, do you mind? Pray for everybody this week and see you Wednesday, if not sooner. Louis. You know, you're welcome to come visit the house during the week if y'all want to come down and see how this thing works. Come on down, be friendly, be visiting. You know, love to have you. Bring some cherry pie with you when you come. Right, boys? Cherry pie? You like cherry pie? Anyway, have a good week.